Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Ever stop to wonder how your local park got built? Or who plans those trails you walk on?
Yeah, it doesn't just happen by magic, does it?
Not at all. There's this whole complex world behind it. Planning, funding, maintaining. It goes on for decades. And today, that's what we're digging into. Specifically, we've got the City of Big Lakes 2025-2040 Parks and Trails Capital Improvement Plan.
Right, quite a document.
It really is. It's basically the blueprint for their green spaces for the next, what, 15 years. We want to understand how a city actually does that, plans so far ahead, figures out the money, keeps everything going.
And that's our mission, right? To pull out the key insights from this official plan.
Yeah.
We'll show you how a city like Big Lake strategically thinks about growth, how they fund these amenities we all enjoy, and how they plan for the long haul.
So for you listening, think of this as a shortcut, a way to appreciate the foresight and, honestly, the daily grind that goes into creating and preserving these places.
Exactly. The parks, the trails, it's more complicated than you might think.
Yeah. Okay, so let's start with the foundation, this Capital Improvement Plan, or CIP. It's a common term in city planning, but what makes Big Lake's approach maybe particularly interesting or effective?
It's a good place to start. The basic idea is pretty standard. It's a multi-year spending guide. For Big Lake, it's a 5-year rolling plan for capital spending.
5 years, okay.
Right. And the big advantage, foresight. Instead of just reacting year to year with the annual budget, the CIP lets them earmark projects way in advance.
Ah, so they can plan for bigger things down the road.
Precisely. They can say, okay, we need a major park renovation in 5 years and start setting aside funds now, maybe phase the funding. It avoids those sudden budget crunches and lets them build things out logically over time.
That makes a lot of sense. Phased funding avoids sticker shock. But how does this 5-year plan connect with the really long-term vision, like the 10, 20-year goals? Does it just sit by itself?
Well, that's where the integration piece is key. And honestly, it's something many cities find challenging to do seamlessly. Big Lake seems to put a lot of emphasis on linking this 5-year CIP with their longer-term strategic plans. Those might look 10, even 25 years out, and with their short-term annual budget.
So it's like nested dolls of planning.
Kind of, yeah. This linkage is crucial. It stops short-term decisions, maybe driven by immediate pressures, from accidentally messing up the city's long-term goals. It ensures today's spending aligns with the bigger picture, the values the city council has set out.
Okay, that alignment is vital for coherent policy. And you mentioned capital spending. What exactly counts as capital in this CIP context? Is there a specific definition?
Yes, and that definition is important for keeping things clear. For Big Lake, a capital item or project has to cost at least $5,000.
Kathauser, okay.
And it needs to have a usable life of at least 3 years. So think a new police car or building a park pavilion or a major trail project. It's not for, routine maintenance or office supplies.
Got it. So it's about significant, long-lasting assets.
Exactly. That distinction helps make sure the CIP funds are really going towards building and improving the community's infrastructure for the future, not just day-to-day running costs.
So this isn't just bureaucratic paperwork, then. It's really the financial framework that supports stability and growth for the stuff you use in your community. It's easy to miss, but it's fundamental.
Absolutely. That's how things get built and sustained.
All right, let's pivot to the money. Because, I mean, these plans are great, but they need funding, right? How does Big Lake actually pay for all these park and trail improvements outlined in the CIP? What's the financial picture look like?
It's a mix, which is generally a smart approach for cities. Big Lake relies on four main sources for this Parks and Trails CIP covering 2025 to 2040.
Okay, what are they?
First, you've got yearly transfers from the general fund, that's the city's main operating fund. Second, there's money set aside in their specific CIP fund balance. Third is local government aid, or LGA, which comes from the state. And fourth, they use park dedication fees, which go into a dedicated park development fund. So it's sort of a diversified funding strategy.
Diversification makes sense. Now, those park dedication fees, I seem to recall those usually come from big new housing developments, right?
Historically, yes, that was the main source. Large residential projects would contribute fees for parks.
So what happens when a city gets more built out, like Big Lake, maybe fewer huge subdivisions going up? Does that money just disappear?
That's a really important question, and it's a challenge a lot of maturing cities run into. If your main source of park funding dries up as development patterns change, well, that's a problem. But Big Lake saw this coming. What they did back in 2018 was pretty forward-thinking. They established park and trail dedication fees for commercial and industrial developments, too.
Oh, interesting. So not just housing.
Right. They recognize that all kinds of development impact and benefit from the city's parks and trails, so they broaden the base for those fees. It was a smart adaptation to keep that funding stream healthy.
That is clever. And looking through this plan, it seems like their funding strategy keeps evolving. I noticed a shift mentioned away from relying quite so heavily on the general fund later on, towards more LGA.
That's right. They started making those annual transfers from the general fund back in 2020 to ensure a consistent baseline. For instance, the 2026 budget has like $100,000 for parks, $9,000 for trails, $5,000 for playground gear, all from the general fund.
Okay.
But the plan projects a significant shift starting around 2031. They anticipate getting about $150,000 a year in LGA from the state, specifically for this purpose.
Ah, so the state aid ramps up.
Exactly. And the idea is that this increased LGA will then reduce the need to pull as much from the general fund for these future improvements. It frees up general fund money for other city needs or helps keep taxes stable.
So it really shows how cities have to be nimble with their finances, doesn't it? Adapting as they grow, finding different revenue streams.
Absolutely. It's not just about finding any money. It's about building long-term financial resilience. It ensures those parks and trails you enjoy can keep being developed and maintained, even as things change.
Which ultimately means a more stable, predictable future for those community assets we value. Okay, let's talk about the fun stuff, the actual projects. Big Lake already has a decent park system, right? Around 215 acres, 20 miles of trails.
Yeah, playgrounds, ball fields, lakeside park with the beach. It's a solid foundation.
So what's coming next? What are some of the exciting projects highlighted in this 2025 to 2040 plan?
Well, there's some pretty significant ones planned, especially early on. 2025 looks like a big year. They've got the Lakeside Park playground replacement budgeted at $525,000.
Wow, that's substantial.
It is. And also in 2025, a brand new skate park is planned with about $500,000 allocated.
Nice. What about further out?
Looking a bit ahead, there's Bluff Park development pegged for $180,000 in 2028. And then much longer term, towards the end of this plan's horizon, say 2038 to 2040, they're identifying development for newer park areas like Highline Park, Hudson Woods, Sanford Select, and Norland.
Those are real tangible things people will see and use. But, you know, planning 15 years out, are these projects locked in? What if priorities change or, I don't know, a great opportunity pops up sooner?
That's a great point. And the CIP is designed with that in mind. It functions more like a statement of intent. Think of it as a roadmap, not necessarily rigid directions set in stone.
Okay, so it's flexible.
Exactly. There's built-in flexibility.
Yeah.
If a really critical need emerges, maybe lower priority project that's further out in the plan gets pushed back a bit to accommodate it. Or if unexpected grant funding appears, they can accelerate something.
I see.
And it's not just about building shiny new things. The plan is also very systematic about maintaining what's already there. There's a detailed trail replacement plan, for example. It identifies specific trails, notes when they were built, maybe their condition rating, and schedules them for replacement. Like Karen Lane Trail, built 2008, is down for replacement in 2026 for about $8,000.
Yeah.
Highline Drive Trail, that's a bigger job, $75,000, slated for 2036.
So it's a proactive approach to upkeep, too.
Definitely. It's about the whole life cycle, not just the ribbon cutting.
That really underscores how this long-term planning directly impacts your experience, right?
Yeah.
It's the difference between a great park and one that's starting to look worn down.
Mm.
And that brings us neatly to maintenance. Building stuff is one thing, but keeping it all looking good and working properly, that's constant work. That's where the park's operating budget comes in, isn't it?
Absolutely. And this is a crucial link that sometimes gets overlooked. Every time the city builds something new, using the CIP, a new park, a new trail section, it creates a long-term commitment on the operating side.
Right, because now you have to maintain it.
Exactly. More parkland means more mowing. New facilities might mean higher utility bills, maybe more staff needed. So the operating budget is the unsung hero here.
So what kind of things does it cover specifically?
It covers the day-to-day stuff. Mowing all the parks and trails, general upkeep of park buildings, running the irrigation systems. It also pays the wages for seasonal staff. They mention having 3 people just for lawn care from May to September.
Okay.
Plus park attendance at Lakeside Park on weekends during the summer. And a portion of the salaries for the full-time streets and parks operators who work year-round, plus small stipends for the park's advisory committee members.
That sounds pretty comprehensive for the daily grind. But what about the equipment, like the mowers, the trucks they use for parks work? Is that in the park's operating budget, too?
That's a good clarifying question. Actually, no. Repairs and routine maintenance for the equipment and vehicles used by the park's team are handled under a separate fleet or equipment maintenance budget for the whole city.
Ah, okay. So the operating budget is more people and direct site upkeep.
Right. But, and this is where it loops back to the CIP, the replacement of that major parks equipment is planned and funded through the capital improvement plan.
I see. So the CIP buys the new tractor when the old one wears out.
Precisely. Because that big equipment is vital for efficient maintenance. You can't maintain parks well without good mowers and trucks. So the CIP includes things like replacing a 2006 John Deere tractor in 2029 that's estimated at $180,000 funded by LGA.
Wow.
Yeah, or a 2008 dump truck replacement in 2027 for $85,000, also LGA. And even replacing a newer 2022 mower in 2031 for $50,000 using CIP funds. It's all part of that integrated planning we talked about.
It really does connect everything. And it highlights the, you know, the behind-the-scenes work that keeps parks usable. Mowing, cleaning, fixing.
The daily grind, yeah.
And when you boil it all down, they actually calculated the net cost of that entire park's operating budget. It comes out to just 0.49 cents per household per day.
49 cents. That's pretty amazing value when you think about everything it covers.
It really is. It shows a strong return on investment for the community, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Now, you mentioned the Parks Advisory Committee, the PayPay. A big plan like this, it shouldn't just be city staff deciding everything in isolation, right? So what role does this committee actually play? How much input do they have?
The PayPay seems to be quite influential, actually, based on how it's described. It was set up by a city ordinance way back in 2002-03.
Okay.
And their role is multifaceted. They act as a key link between City Hall and the residents, kind of a resource for neighborhoods or groups who want info or have ideas about parks.
So a communication channel.
Yes. But they do more than just talk. They actively help the city develop policies related to open space. They make specific recommendations to the city council about park development, trails, sidewalks, you name it.
Right.
And this is really relevant to our deep dive. They actually help research different funding sources for the CIP itself and other park projects.
Oh, wow. So they're involved in the financial side, too, finding grants and things.
It seems so. They're not just advising on what to build, but also helping figure out how to pay for it. That gives them real teeth in the process, I'd say.
That does sound genuinely involved. What's their guiding principle? Do they have, like, a mission statement?
They do. Their core priority is to provide a safe leisure environment along with quality parks, facilities, trails, and services to preserve and protect open land and water areas. And crucially, that will benefit and improve the quality of life for Big Lake residents now and in the future.
That really sums it up well. And it shows there are ways for citizens to get involved and genuinely shape these long-term plans for their community's green spaces. It's not just the top-down thing.
No, it appears to be quite collaborative in Big Lake's case.
Okay, so let's try and pull all these threads together. We've looked at the plan, the funding, the projects, the maintenance, the community input. What does Big Lake's whole approach here tell us about how a city can effectively manage its parks and trails for the long run?
I think it really demonstrates that necessary balance. You need the long-term vision, that roadmap provided by the CIP. You need smart, adaptive funding strategies, like we saw with the park dedication fees and the shift towards LGA. You need the concrete projects that people see and use, improving quality of life.
Right.
But you also absolutely need that commitment to ongoing maintenance, the operating budget, and the planned replacement of equipment. And underpinning it all is transparency and community involvement through things like the PayKC.
It's a whole ecosystem, really.
It is. And a comprehensive, clear plan like this isn't just about parks. It's a fundamental investment in the community's overall well-being today and for generations to come. It signals stability and a commitment to quality of life.
So maybe a final thought for everyone listening. The next time you're out enjoying a local park or walking or biking on a trail, maybe pause for a second. Think beyond just the green grass or the smooth path. Consider the layers underneath the years of financial planning, the policy debates, the continuous work of building and maintaining that space, all guided by a plan looking decades ahead. How might understanding that whole intricate process change how you see and maybe even value these public spaces in your own community?
That's a great question to ponder. It definitely adds another layer of appreciation.